God and money. You cannot serve two masters. One of them's got to win. Cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. But I'm going to talk about God and money. Developing a biblical attitude about money. Most people only have one attitude, and that is they wish they had money. But I'm going to talk about biblical attitude about money. So as you grab that, by way of introduction, let me give you a couple of three wise sayings. I have found a lot of things. This whole month we're going to be talking about, handling your money rightly is worth it. You never realized how important money was until you became a Christian. Before, you nearly worshipped it. You lived for it. You worried about it. But as a Christian, you find out money has its place and is very important. Got to turn those things off when we come to church. Wise sayings. Let me give you three wise sayings. Number one, money can be a wonderful, underline the word, servant. But it makes a lousy master. Number two, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Now, these are deep things. You may not appreciate these yet, but you give it a little while and you'll understand. Number three, do not ever love money because it will never love you back. So a lot of the world loves money, and then when their money goes away, they kill themselves. Now, few people handle money right. Few people handle money right. Most often, people get ruined by a wrong way of using money and out of living for money. You know what I live for? I live for God. This book applies to people all over the world, the Western world, poverty. I don't care who you are. If you've got nothing, you've got everything. It applies to you. And God doesn't look at your outward appearance, doesn't look at the things that you own. He looks at your heart. And I want to talk about how we live the wrong way for money, and we need to live the right way. Big companies love it when people spend and spend. They don't care that you're using your credit card. They love it when you use your credit card, because the credit card companies pay them, and then you're in bondage trying to pay back the credit cards. So they want you to spend. As a matter of fact, the government wants you to spend. The government gives people money to spend, thinking that it'll help the economy. Do you realize how stupid that is? For a government to give you a paycheck that you didn't earn, and they give you this money so that you go out and buy something, that money had to come from somewhere. It didn't. The government didn't have it. They took it from somebody else. And big companies and the government just want you to get into the idea of just spend and spend and spend, and we'll all be happy. It's a lie. It is a lie that we've grown up with for the last two or three generations. God's people need to see money as a good thing. As something that is to be used for good. You know, we live in a culture where people have to have bigger and bigger TVs. It used to be I would go for a walk in our estate, and I'm praying that God would open up doors, and I would get into such and such house or whatever, and I'd see a small television in the sitting room. When we first moved here, the television size was about 14-inch, 16-inch. And you walk down the streets now at night, and you see that blue glow in the downstairs or upstairs rooms. Everybody's got a television now. And it's 56-inch plasma. It's bigger and bigger and bigger things. People have to have iPads and iPhones. And if you're still using something from the 90s, oh man, you're so history. The modern push is to own everything you can get before you die. That's what our modern mentality is. Money has become only a number. We don't even hold money. We just transfer it. Amen? Electronically, we go on and transfer 100 there and buy this. And we don't even value. What does it weigh? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is money to us in this generation? But we see money differently as Christians. We see money, first of all, as essential. You gotta have money. It is not spiritual to be poor. Now, somebody who has a lot of money is not more spiritual. That's not the point. But too long, people have thought when Jesus said, blessed are the poor, he's not saying, blessed are you when you become poor. Not at all. He's saying, no matter who you are and whether poor financially or poor spiritually is what he was referring to, but if you want to apply it, poor financially, if you're saved, you're blessed. That's the point. Not that it's a blessing to be poor. Anybody believe that? Let me see your hands. Money is essential. Secondly, money is way overrated. Money is not the principal thing. Often we get to where we think we got to have more and more and more money. Well, you know, these last 3 years we've learned it ain't going to happen. We're going to have to live with less and less. Amen. And Christians shouldn't be discouraged. You know what? Christians ought to be more encouraged today than we were 3 years ago. Because as a Christian, we don't need the economy. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got the Bible. I've got a home in heaven. Money is way overrated. Thirdly, money can be used for great good. You can do great things with money. Do you realize? I know the government's taken over building hospitals, but you know hospitals were built by donations. People sacrificed to build hospitals, to feed the hungry. Money's been used to clothe people, to provide needs for people. Countless millions have been helped. The parable of the Good Samaritan, here's a man who should not care about this Jew who has been beat up on the road to Damascus. This Jew, all his life, has been taught to hate the Samaritan. So the Samaritan passes by and he sees this man bleeding and dying on the side of the road. He comes to his aid. He takes care of him. He puts him on his donkey. He takes him to an inn. He says, here, I'll take care of him. If there's any more that you need, I'll be back next week and I'll pay up whatever is left over. Money can be used to help people. Amen. He didn't just say, I'm going to leave him in your charity. No, the Samaritan took care of him out of his own pocket. Money can be used for good. It can also be used for great evil. Money has financed the drug culture, pornography, prostitution, wars. I mean, you think about the money that's been spent to kill people. Money's been used for great evil. Every other vile practice known to man. Money is the grease that lubricates the axles of sin, somebody once said. I like that. Money can lead to terrible bondage. When we allow ourselves to fall into the slavery of debt, we are hindering our ability to follow the Lord. We are blocking ourselves so that we're stuck and we can't go forward with God. It can lead to terrible bondage, and I'll talk about that more this month. So money must be used properly, and that's what we're going to learn this morning and all this month, that God has different way of looking at things, and he wants us to look at it the same. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, would you please bless our study this morning? And this is just what we need. I can tell when Christians are ready to hear from the Word of God, because it doesn't matter what the subject is, it's always an amen. God, if you want to deal with us about anything and everything, every matter that we deal with is always a matter of the heart. Would you humble us and help us to just all shout amen to every one of these truths we're going to listen this morning. I pray you change the way we look at money, and that God's people would be free from the bondage of debt, the bondage of the love of money, and Lord, from the bondage of covetousness and idolatry. Please free so many people this morning. And I pray that you touch somebody's heart. Convict them of sin. Lord, convince them that there is a different way, but that they need to be born again first. All of these things are great principles, but they cannot save a soul. This is the way to live the Christian life, but to get into the Christian life, a sinner's got to be saved. That which was lost is to be found. Somebody who was born only once needs to be born a second time. I pray that, Lord, you'd convince somebody they can be saved, and they should be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know, hold on, don't go there. Did you know that there are some strong Bible truths about money in the Bible? Spending it, earning it, giving it away is mentioned, here's your fill-in, over 800 times in the Bible. That's a lot of talk. I mean, if you said 800 sentences about money, that's 3 hours worth of discussion on a TV program. They don't talk that much about it on CNN and all of the financial news networks and things. The Bible talks a lot about money. God seems to think it's kind of important to settle. So let's learn about some Bible truths and the way that God honors money. The first thing, take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 23, and the first thing is God honors more money when we love money less. What do I mean? Proverbs 23 and verse 4. Every Christian in this room, the first thing you've got to learn about money is you need to love God more. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich. Do you see that? Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? You can be looking forward to something that doesn't exist. For riches certainly make themselves what? They fly away as an eagle toward heaven and they never come back. Hey, don't labor to be rich. You know what you need to desire? As much as you desired to have such some money, or as much as you desired to have something, you need to desire God. Every experience that you have is a test of how much you want God. You want a girlfriend? You better want God more. You want a car? You better want God more. You want health back? You better want God. Because everything that we have here is nothing. It's like an eagle that just... You ever seen a bird? You see the birds fighting over. You put some bread in the back of the garden there. And the birds come in. They're all black birds coming there. Just vicious. But as soon as they get that hunk of bread, where do they go? They're never coming back, man. They got their thing. And they are gone. Then the little bitty birds that are pleasant, that you like, you know, they come around. There's nothing left. We need to love God more. So everything else disappears. But you know, God honors us when we honor Him ahead of all the money and the possessions. What do you worry about on a Sunday? What do you worry about? I mean, are you honoring the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, this is your day. This is not my rest day. This isn't my sport day. This isn't my work day. This is your day. And you wonder, Lord, why is it that nothing's working in my life? Why are things falling apart? And maybe things are going great for you, but let me tell you, it won't go forever. You're saved. God's going to pull the plug on all of those good times because He has a biblical principle, and that is He deserves first place. Take your Bible and let's go look at some other scriptures here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Did you know God owns you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I mean, Paul talks just like my mother. What? Amen. I mean, didn't your mom ever do that? I mean, the first question out of her mouth when she'd see me, what? Where have you been? What have you been into? Amen. I mean, it's just, look at Paul. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. And what a high price that was. Therefore, glorify God where? In your body and in your spirit. God already owns you. That means He owns your time, and He owns your wallet. He owns your car, He owns your house. He owns you. He has His name all over you. I mean, somebody picks up something of mine. Usually, the things that I own, I put my name on it. I've got books, and it says property of Craig Ledbetter, because when I lend them out, they never come back. And yet, I know those rascals, if they just look, they go, oh, this belongs to Pastor, because my name's on it, amen. But they won't ever bring it back to just the way. Anyway, if you're one of those, I'm looking for you. Anyway, God's got His name all over you, and we forget who we belong to. You know, I'm my own. You are not your own. You belong to God. Did you know the devil's a liar? Having money will not give you any happiness. Somebody once said, owning a fancy car won't bring happiness. But crying in a Mercedes makes you feel better real quick. Now that may be true. I've never done it. I don't know. But it's a lie of the devil that money can bring you happiness, and it doesn't. The things that you own will never make a life. You know what? All the things that you collect, you know what they become in the end? A museum. They become things that people fight over when you're dead. Amen. The things that we collect become a museum. Oh, that was Granddaddy's favorite picture. It's just, come on, but he treasured it. All the discontent in people's hearts is from hell. Did not come from God, did not come from Jesus Christ. You better start to look and say, what am I living for? The devil's a liar, and he lied to us thinking, if I just get that, if I just get me a girlfriend, if I just have this fun, if I can just buy that, you'll have nothing. As soon as you get it, there's no satisfaction, you got to go further. That first drink gave you a buzz, but it wore off, and then you had to have another one, and then another one, and then another one. Amen. So, what's the truth? The truth is, love God more than money. That's the first thing you write down. The first thing you've got to decide is that I'm going to love God more than I love money. That's how you look at money. It's second compared to it. Next point. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. You know what God honors? God honors hard work, not handouts. 2 Corinthians 9:6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. See, God honors our money when we love God more. Secondly, God honors hard work and not handouts. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Look what your Bible says. But this I say, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You do a little bit of work, you're only going to get a little bit of pay. Did you hear what I just said? He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, God honors when you work hard. You don't get a lot out of giving a little. Does that make sense? God honors hard work, not handouts. Did you know, he deserves our best efforts. Let's take our Bible. Let's look at some scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs this morning. Finally, Proverbs chapter 3 in the Old Testament, just after Psalms, in verse 9. A lot of principles this morning we're going to settle, and then we're going to look at them during the month. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the things that you own, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits are the first bills that you pay. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out not with old wine, not with alcoholic wine, but with new wine, fresh fruit juice. Honor the Lord with your money. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, go to the next book after Proverbs, is Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. You know what God likes? He likes hard work. You know, girls do too. I don't know what happened to the modern girl age. I don't know what happened. I think all girls, modern teenage girls, are on drugs. I really believe it. Because for any girl to like the kind of guys that are out there today, they have to have their head examined. These girls have toys, and they know it. And they like these boys. Really, they just want a boy they can manipulate. That's really what all they want. But they cannot, 10 years from now, expect to be happy. There will be no joy with a boy who just sits in front of the television and flipping the channels. He says, you go get a job. She liked him when he was all there all over her. And when, I'm going to get really nitty gritty here this morning. She liked him when he was all for her and just spoke all the words that she wanted to say. And he was always there for her and he had all his daddy's money. But when he started hanging with her and spent his time living off of her, she's going to get tired of it. Amen. You know what a real girl likes? A hard-working man. Whether they admit it or not, whether they ever want a hard-working boy that is dependable and faithful and pays his bills, they may not admit it, but deep down in their heart, they know they need it. So, look at Proverbs chapter 3, we said 9 and 10. Look at Ecclesiastes 9. In verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, and put some muscle into it. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Hey, the end of the game, there's no more chance to do anything then. It's time to serve and do now. Hard work. Look at Colossians to the right. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3:23, God deserves our best efforts. And what's, sorry, 3:23, in whatsoever you do. That means anything you do. I don't care if you're taking out the rubbish. Do it heartily. You know what heartily is? You know what a hearty laugh is, don't you? That's not a hearty laugh. You know what a hearty laugh is? I mean, all of the energy coming out. When you do something heartily, you're doing it with all of your energy, amen. And whatsoever you do, do it with joy and all of your might, amen. Do it for the Lord. Listen to these promises. Go back to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10. Every one of these scriptures ought to have a star beside them. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor. The dealing with a slack hand. What's a slack hand? A lazy hand. A hand that won't move. You want to get poor? Do nothing. Unless you want to live in a welfare state. He becometh poor that dealeth or worketh with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Saw an ad. Not an ad. It was a comic. And had this kid and he's mowing grass. The kid's looking, he's got the smile on his face, he says, bing, and the words of only says, I found out how to get money off of a rich man. Work for him. Oh, come on! That's good! Amen! Proverbs 10:4 says right there, he says, the hand of the diligent, that's where you make the money. That's how you get rich. Look at chapter 13 and verse 4. Chapter 13 and verse 4. The Bible uses good words, man. Sluggard. Say, I'm tired this morning. You're a lazy bum. Amen. You should have gone to bed early last night so that you can be fresh for the Lord. If you worked last night, praise God that you're here. Because that's right. I don't care if you're tired or not. The Bible talks about not being a sluggard. 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, when the Bible talks about fat, it talks about somebody who's skinny is poor, doesn't have anything to eat. Somebody who's fat, well-fed, they're healthy. They have their own food. They've worked, and they're able to live off it. Don't you mock somebody who has earned their money. That's why we don't have respect for a banker, because he didn't earn it. They didn't earn it. That's why we have very little respect for politicians, because they don't earn it. They don't work. Not like what we expect people to work. But you meet somebody who has worked and has all their life worked, and if they've got something and they can put money in their pocket and they're doing well off, don't you despise them. Don't you despise. You aspire to be like them and maybe even beat them, amen. Look at 21, chapter 21 and verse 5. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. You know what a diligent man's thinking about? How to do better. How to improve something. You know, there are people, there are all kinds of people, but there are people that they pick up something, they look and they go, I know how to make that better. They just think. They look at something and says, I know how to make it so it holds more. Or how it retains heat better. There are people, look at what it says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty, only to want. Somebody who's just constantly impulsive, constantly, I want this, I want that. They're just going to end up with nothing. But somebody who's thinking and diligent in their hardworking tends only to end up with plenty of stuff. Look at chapter 22, verse 29. 22 and 29. Seest thou a man diligent, put the word hardworking in your mind. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. Kings will be impressed with him. He shall not stand before mean or poor men. Not just angry men. Mean means low. He'll stand before kings. God honors hard work. Can you see that? Look at 27 and 23. Proverbs 27 and verse 23. If you're a farmer, 23 and 24 says this. Proverbs 27. Verse 23 and 24, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Go and check on them. And look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. and doth the crown endure to every generation. Things don't stay the same. You've got to make sure that the herd or the flocks are reproducing, they're healthy, things are going. If you've got a bank account, you got to make sure you got good interest, you got a good banker, you got a good bank, you got to make sure that you got to take care of your finances, because we're too trusting of the government to do it for us. We're too trusting that the government's going to give me a pension at the end of the day. You better not trust them, because they'll be bankrupt. 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is our memory verse this year. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Listen to these next words. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What should we be doing? Working hard, whether in church, at home, on the job. I don't care if you're walking the dog. You ought to be working at it. Come on, dog, you're following me. Come on, man. If there's one thing my dad taught me, he taught me to love work. I didn't learn too much from my dad. He left when I was 12. But I had an appreciation for staying at something and working at it and enjoying it. I love working. I love it. You need to love to do things, to build things, to invent things, to make something. I don't care if it's out of Legos. Make something, man. Doesn't matter if you get paid or not. Did you know I preached for years. Going to church, Brother Dan, probably the same for you. You'd preach, you'd fill the pulpit, and maybe somebody invites you to come preach in another church. I preached for the first couple of years as a Christian, and then somebody handed me a check for $35, my first pay. It was 25 euros for preaching. And I went, woohoo! I get paid. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter if you get paid for it. Work! Somebody will end up paying you for it, amen? I loved working. I worked 14 years old, I was selling newspapers door to door. After that, I worked at a retail store. After that, I started working for the phone company. And I just loved it. You say, well, you're different. Amen! I aim to be different. I don't want to be like the other deadbeats that I grew up with. So love working more than money. Have a hobby, man. Have a hobby. Stay busy. Draw. Paint. Experiment with electronics. It's a shame. The EMC's out there. The Apple computers, IBM, Microsoft, all started in garages. What are you doing? I'm playing Xbox. Did you know I have not seen one ad for an Xbox expert? Pay $35,000 a year. It doesn't happen. Amen. Amen. Your kids know everything about that box. They know every program. They know all of the shows and all the reruns of all of these programs. But they don't know how to sit and just put something together. Love work. Love work. God honors that. You know, Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Whether he earns a lot or little. He works hard and he comes home, he's out. That is good. Thirdly, God honors frugality, not poverty. Frugal. Did I ever say that word? Kinda. Listen, your mother and your grandmother knew that word. I mean, people 50 years ago, they lived frugally. I mean, mattresses were filled with money. Not because they made lots of money, but because they didn't spend it. Amen? Amen. Honestly, to live frugally means to count your pennies. It means to live frugal means to be careful how you spend your money. That's your fill-in. How you spend your money. Spend wisely. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and 27. Proverbs 12 and 27. Say, I don't have any money. You're a liar. You've got money. You get it from somewhere. How you spend it is what we're talking about. First, you'll work to get it. And if you can't work, amen. There are all kinds of excuses. That's fine. We're not talking about people who are certain cases. We're talking about people who ought, in God's people, in their heart, they ought to be burdened. They ought to be desiring to work. Yeah. And it doesn't matter that you get a job. It ought to be, I got to go do something.
Yeah.
Then, when you do something, you get paid pennies. You count them out and you don't spend them all. Spend wisely. Look at Proverbs 12:27 says this. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, because he's too lazy to roast it. But the substance, because he says, oh, I could eat it later. Oh, I got plenty to eat. I'm not hungry. You know what the substance of the diligent man is? You know what precious means? It's rare. I'm not going to let this go to waste. I was talking to Josh about growing. He's going to college and he's going to be in his own place for about 4 months and bunking with some other college students there and telling him, have leftovers. Eat lots of leftovers, because if every meal you have to pay for, we sat down and we added up all of what he thinks it would cost him to eat, and it added up, what was it, about 70 euros a week one kid could eat on his own. He said, well, that's more than my rent that he's going to have to pay. You know how to cut that down? Eat a lot of leftovers. Fix a big meal you can eat. I don't care if it's spaghetti. Eat it 3 days in a row. Eat breakfast, lunch, dinner. Save money, amen. Don't just get, oh, I just don't know what to eat. I'll buy another pizza. I'll buy this. I'll be that. You'll be in the hospital. The food that a diligent man has is precious to him. He says, man, this is good. It's hot. Look at chapter 21 and verse 17. Proverbs 21 and 17. He that loveth pleasure, put down there next to that entertainment, the disco, the friends. He that loveth pleasure shall be a what? But he that loveth wine and oil, just loves to, I just bathe, I just live in the lap of luxury, shall not be rich. Look at verse 20, still in chapter 21. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Not in the one who lives for pleasure, but the one who carefully spends. But a foolish man, underline the words, what does a foolish man do with the money he gets, or she gets? Spends it all. Spends it up. Isn't the Bible real modern? Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 14. I'll show you something in the New Testament. Matthew 14 and verse 20. I know. Oh, it is Mark. Thank you. There's actually a Matthew and a Mark, and I thought I had it right. Mark, chapter 14 and verse 20 will be fine. It shouldn't be that. Mark 14, 20. Nope. It's Matthew 14, 20. That is wrong. Matthew 14 and verse 20. That is my first and only mistake today, prayerfully. Hey, don't push it. Matthew 14, I have been diligent, but it doesn't always work out. Matthew 14 and verse 20, look what it says. This is Jesus feeding 5,000 people. And they did all eat. Can you imagine cleaning up after that? And yet he sent his disciples out, and look what he says. And they were all filled, and they took up of the what? That remained 12 baskets. Jesus didn't say, I'll leave it for the birds. No, when they finished the meal, they collected it all for another meal. They collected it all so they could see, you know, we have some leftovers. Let's make sure we keep the leftovers. Folks, be frugal. Be sparing. Count your pennies. You think, this is embarrassing at the end of the month. Praise God. That's what a Christian does. The world spends and doesn't care about it. And that's why they wonder, how come we're so much in debt? I know why. Because you spend without thinking. Too many people are poor because they worship money. They're covetous. They got shoes and they're fine, and they got to have a new set. They got a computer that's working fine, but I got to have the new one. They say, well, I got a laptop, but I need an iPad. You do not. Well, I got this and I need that. You know what you are? You're covetous. And the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. Do you ever pray and say, Lord, do you want me to have that iPad? Of course you wouldn't ask him, because you know he'd say no. It'd be a nice thing to have. If you could afford it, praise God, go buy it. If you need it, amen. It's not against having things. It's against having to have things. Does that make sense? Covetousness. People are poor because they started off having to have everything that everybody else has. You know why people start stealing? Because they want to put on a show. So they've got to steal some money so they can go buy the outfit so they can look like everybody else who has money. covetousness, lavishness. They've got to look the part. They don't want to just have a track suit. They don't want to have just shoes. They don't want to have just gloves. They've got to have Gucci gloves. Amen. Come on. So you need to nod your head and say, yeah, I wanted to live lavishly. I didn't want to just have a pair of gloves. I had hand-me-downs. I don't remember when I... You know, my bell-bottom jeans that I wore when I was 9 years old, I got from my older brother. You know, it's funny. They already had tears in them. Amen. I didn't know how good that was. I wish I could keep them. Honestly, man. What kid in this room, what kid out there would wear their older brother, older sister clothes today? Shame. Shame. Now, we think it's a shame that, oh, you're having to wear hand-me-downs. You know what? Maybe you're going through a bad patch. You'd be just thankful that God's taking care of you and you don't worry about that stuff. You're not living. People get poor because they want to show off. Don't buy this idea that you have to compete with all the other kids. I'm going to get onto a point in just a second. You're not going to like it. Because of impatience. They'll say, I don't have the money for it, but I want it, so I'm getting it. So you wonder, I just never seem to get ahead. Impatience. People believe, well, I know next week I'm going to get a job, so I'll go ahead and buy this now. Don't you do that. They believe in luck instead of in hard work. And people get poor because they're too proud to work. So, well, I would never work at McDonald's. We'll slap you. Or let me slap you. If they'll hire you, that'll be put on your resume and you'll get another job later on. Amen. Too proud. You need to become wise in how you spend. Because, listen, you could save a lot of money. I read this. I thought you could save a whole lot of money if you decided to live as cheaply after you got paid as you did before you got paid. Amen. You know, a lot of you control your money as well as you control your mouth. Not at all. I said I was going to get real nitty gritty here. And you wonder, it just goes out and goes out, and you're just like the things out of your mouth. Listen, the Proverbs 31 woman was a frugal woman. She didn't sit at home watching soap operas, discontent and unhappy. She was industrious, inventive. She was frugal. And yet she was beautiful. She took care of herself and her husband was amazed. How does she do it? Because she was a wise woman. So live sparingly. Spend sparingly. Your children won't miss it if they don't get something. You know, I didn't know I was poor until somebody told me. Thirdly, God honors paying your bills. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. That's what a lot of you are doing. You just won't admit it. You're crying right now. And you're wishing you could go out with her. Amen. Take me away. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borroweth, and I look at this, and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and ends up giving. You know, it is wicked. It is wicked to not pay your bills. God help us to believe in paying our bills, folks. I mean, if you take something from somebody, then you got to pay for it. That includes the bank loan. You know, there's how many 100,000 people who are demanding that the bank does not charge them for their mortgage. And I understand they bought something too big that they shouldn't be able they shouldn't have bought or whatever. But the point is, people, especially Christians, need to have the character to say, I bought it, I got to pay for it. Or else I got to sell it, take a loss. It is my testimony, it's my character on the line. Amen. Christians got to do that. See, you want a seminar, well, I come up and I say, go out and buy the biggest thing and trust God to give you the money to pay for it. That's a fool. You want me to teach you how to just pull money out of thin air, how to go into a room, turn the lights off. How many of you read a book or heard about a book called The Secret? There are people who are poor today who live their life living in this concept of sitting in a room, turn the lights down low, getting in a lotus position, and sitting there and just imagining money and an amount coming on a check through the letterbox. And they're poor today. They're broke because they did not believe in paying their bills. They believed the money was just going to come out of nowhere. It doesn't. It doesn't. People decided this, and I hear about it. They decided, well, we're not going to pay our mortgage. I'm not going to pay my heating bill. And yet they will get more channels on their Skybox. They will continue to buy more and more packs of cigarettes. They will buy. There are people out there who will not pay their mortgage. They will not pay for the shoes on their kids, but they'll buy packs, 12 packs, 24 packs of beer. It is wicked to not pay your bills. If you take something from the shop and you try to walk out with it, what is going to happen to you? And yet we sign little agreements and we say we're going to pay back and we don't pay. Christians need to pay their bills. God honors us when we pay our bills. 1 Timothy 5:8, we don't have time, but it says, if a man knows not how to take care of his own household, he is worse than an infidel. If you don't take care of the bills, if your kid breaks a window, don't go hide with him. Fix it. Pay for it. Amen? If your children eat so much food and it's got to be paid for, don't write and ask for an entitlement to make your kids... Oh, I don't want to say it. Don't ask for people to pay for their food. You pay for it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Say, well, my kid's hungry all the time. Would you just look at him and say, come on, let's just, we're going to eat what we can afford and we're going to go back to beans if we have to. But listen, there are so many entitlements. You're not going to like what I say. Okay. You ready? There is an entitlement. I looked for a list. I found 67 entitlements. I know there are more. There's an entitlement for people to apply to get your communion outfits from the government. You didn't know that, did you? But did you know almost 300 million euros was spent last year, just last year, to help people buy communion outfits? You know what I got? I got a problem with that. Amen. People are saying, I can't afford my little daughter. They're spending 300 euros a kid still getting them through communion. And then they give the kid a couple of hundred euros. Do you see I got a problem with that? I don't care if people want it. It doesn't matter what people are doing with their money. It's the fact that they got nearly 300 million euros from the government. And the government doesn't have any money. Have you figured that out yet? They have your money. And when people are constantly looking and saying, come on, help me, do this. If you want to buy it, you pay for it. Amen. That's a biblical principle. Listen, if I make you mad, it's not on purpose. Actually, it is, but I don't want to admit it. It is so that you wake up and you go, I have bought the lie of the devil to think that I don't have to pay. Yes, you do. Greatest privilege and the greatest honor a young man has is to be able to own his own car, be able to put his own money into the petrol tank, be able to pay his own insurance, be able to pay his own bills, be able to live in his own apartment, be able to say, I did it! Amen. That's an honor for a young man. It's wicked not to pay your bills. You owe it to your family to pay the bills of your family. And you know, you can get into debt. People say, well, can you get into debt? Yes, you can. You can buy a house. You can start a business. You can borrow money for that. But you better have the character, the Christian character, to pay it back. When it is more important to you to pay that loan or mortgage back in full than to have a TV. Than for you to go on your yearly holiday. The point is this. If you buy something, don't rest until you've paid it off. Romans 13:8 says this. Owe no man anything. That doesn't mean you can't get into the debt, but the moment you get into debt, you cannot sleep until you know I am paying that off. And that if you are careful about the debts you make, and you're careful about making sure that you pay it. Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with borrowing. There are plenty of people who borrow and invest, and you start businesses and you buy a house. That's all fine, but we've got this idea that I don't have to pay it back. God help us. That we desire as Christians, we're going to pay it back. I may not own much, but I'm going to own it. Amen. So even taxes, Jesus said to Peter, Peter came up and says, how are we going to pay tax? Is it right for us to pay tax? What do we do, Jesus? He said, go fishing. It was that day they had to pay. Jesus said, We are not going to offend them. Lest they be offended, go and catch some fish. You're good at catching fish. There'll be enough money for the two of us. And we're going to pay our taxes. Amen. Amen. God honors budgets. Did you know He loves budgets? Look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Now, very few people ever go to where we're going to study a budget, but Proverbs chapter 6 verse 6 says this, go to the ant. Do you know an ant budgets? I ought to send an ant farm up to Endicenny. Look at Proverbs 6 verse 6, 7 and 8. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, I mean, these ants don't have a teacher or a television program, doesn't have a guide, overseer, or ruler, and yet provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest so that when there's no food, she's got it ready. Here's the point. An ant budgets. She lays aside things for later. That's what a budget is. Look at Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Verse 28. Luke 14, 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the what? Adding it all up, seeing whether he have sufficient to finish it. Do I have it all budgeted out? Do I know what it's going to cost? Do I know how much money's coming in? Can I pay for it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it. Just like a lot of these ghost estates. Not able to finish it. And all that behold it begin to mock him. God loves budgets. Now, the point is this. Live within a budget. Don't live on credit. Don't live on loans. People, that's where loan sharks love us. They love people who just, we don't make it, so I need a quick, just a quick turnaround loan, and it's 25%. It's 50%. It depends on the amount of money you get back, and you try to pay back, but you're constantly digging yourself deeper and deeper. Listen, live within a budget. Here's the rule number one. Rule number one is don't spend money before you have it. That's how our government is in such trouble. The government kept telling everybody our financial institutions are sound. Our business plan as a country is sound. Everything is going up. So they kept borrowing as if everything would stay the same. And they taught an entire nation of people to do the same. Now the money's gone. And where's the government going to get money from? From the people who are in the same boat the government is in. They don't have the money for it. Listen, you better start to live by a rule that says, if I don't have it, I don't spend it. Amen. Budget it out. Amen. You know what a budget will do? It'll help you know your limit. A lot of people don't realize how much it costs them. Amen. They have no idea how much it costs. They just keep paying their bills and they just... I hate the fact that everything is electronic now. Everything, your phone bill, your heating bill, everything is now by internet. So you don't know what you're spending. You have no idea. It just goes out automatically. Used to be, you look at it and go, who's been taking a shower for 8 hours? Look at that ESB bill. Look at our food costs. We don't do that anymore because we just keep spending, spending. You better start to get back to where you live by a budget. Even if you have to pay a little more to get the paper receipt from the ESB, get it so that you can write it down and you can know how much you're spending. It'll help you know the limit on money you can spend. It'll help you plan for the worst. 3 years ago, everybody said the economy's just going to keep on cooking. It fried. You better have a plan for what if I lose my job? How do we continue? Folks, use your money. Don't lose it and waste it like the prodigal son did. Now, we're going to talk about this more next week because all next Sunday I'm going to be talking about your budget. How to make one, how to live in it. But until then, I want to talk about how God honors contentment. God honors contentment. That's a good word. Now, this is probably the hardest attitude to get. Now, we're talking about an attitude towards money. I love God more than I love money. Amen? I love hard work more than I love money. Amen? Come on. That's what you need to have. The whole point of this thing is to get a right attitude. I want to be frugal with my money, not just lavish spending so I can be loved by everybody. You know, you can make good friends with money. You know that. But as soon as the money's gone, so are the friends. God honors paying your bills, and God honors when you budget, but God honors contentment. Listen to God's commands. Go to Luke chapter 3 in verse 14. This is John the Baptist preaching. He was preaching harder than I am this morning. Luke chapter 3 and verse 14. Luke 3 and verse 14. And the soldiers, now John the Baptist is baptizing people. People are coming up, want to be baptized, getting ready for the Messiah. And the soldiers, the Roman soldiers are standing there. And they likewise demanded of him, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely. And be content with your..." What if your boss called you in and said, "I'm thinking about giving you a raise." You imagine going, no, I'm okay. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? That'd be real hard. Look at Philippians 4:11. Be content with your wages. Philippians 4:11. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 4 and verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned..." But you know, you don't pick this up accidentally. You have to learn it. "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Most of you are in the state of denial. That was a joke. You don't want to deny that you're in trouble financially. You know, one of the things to help you is to learn to become content. "I have learned," Paul said, "that in whatever situation I'm in, to be content." Go to 1 Timothy. Go to the right. Find 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. These are God's commands. Go to the right. "But godliness with contentment..." Now that is great gain. Now you're getting somewhere. Look at verse 8. This is hard. How many of you own a car? Let me see your hands. How many of you own a car? How many of you own a house? Well, don't be ashamed. How many of you own a house? Amen. How many of you, how many own, what would be something important? How many own a TV you bought? Amen. All right. I mean, you ought to be ashamed. Amen. All right. But look at what Paul says is the real goal of the Christian. You get these things and you're a wealthy Christian. Look, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Where's the TV? Where's the house? Where's the car? It's not there. You see, we have to have some things before we're content. Well, I'll finally be happy when. You are never going to be happy. Does that make sense? If you're saved, if you really are born again, good night. Have you thought about what you have? Do you have a family sitting next to you that you don't deserve? Do you have a home in heaven? Are you even going to heaven? Better than you deserve? Do you have a wife? You know you got something better than you deserve. Do you have children? Do you have a job? Do you have a roof over your head? Are you wearing clothes today? Amen. You're rich. Amen. Amen. According to that book, you ought to be so out of your mind happy. Amen. Amen. I mean, some of you, if you came in and you won the Euro Lotto, you'd be going, I can't even breathe. 300 million euros. I'm like that on Monday morning. And I'm not even out of bed yet. Amen. Because I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the Almighty God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't have to have anything except what He's giving me. Amen. Contentment. You know what contentment means? Contentment means thankful. Keep going. Let's look at this other verse here. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Don't want to miss this one. "Let your conversation..." What do you talk about? Well, let your conversation be without. Oh, if I only had a better husband. If he only understood my needs. Oh, if my kids would only obey me. Oh, if my pastor would only preach shorter. Oh, if I only had this. If I only had that. What is your conversation? Full of covetousness. Full of things you think you need. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And here's a command. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, you can make a list of needs. If I asked you, I said, what do you need? What do you need? I bet every one of you could list 15 things right off the bat. But if I said, what have you got? You go, what do I have? I have a headache. I got bills. You know, we're really twisted. Contentment means you need to know what you have and be grateful and thankful for them now. You need to make a praise list. Yes, needs have to be met. But I don't believe your needs are ever going to be met until you're thankful for what you already have. It also means being cheerful. Contentment means being full of cheer without a drink in your hand. Cheers, 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 everybody. I have cheer with what I have. I rejoice. Third, and this is the biggest one, contentment means it is a decision to be at rest. No anxiety, no worry, no demands, no nothing. Contentment means I have decided to be at rest, not because I have what I need, but because I trust in the God who has what I need. That's contentment. Yes, you've got needs. Yes, they need to be met. But you can be at rest because you know he's going to meet them. Amen. What if poverty gripped you? Watch me. What if poverty gripped you for a season? How would you react? What if you lost your job? What if you lost your health? What if all the bills began to pile up and it was out of control? You had no control over it. All of a sudden, it's not your doing. You weren't lazy. Nothing went wrong. You were trying to live for God. And like Job, everything collapsed and everything was gone. How would you react? I know how Jesus reacted. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, though he was rich, yet became he poor that we might be rich. He did it joyfully. He took it, and you never met Jesus Christ. Yes, he was acquainted with sorrow, but he was never sorrowful. Look at Matthew 8:20. Matthew 8:20 says this. There's a man who comes up and says, Jesus, I finally caught up with you. Wow, you really move. Jesus, I want to go with you wherever you go. I want to be with you. Jesus, I just love you. I want to be with you. Verse 20, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air, they have their nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Do you think he said that with a frown? Or he said, come along, just realize what you're getting into. It's going to be great. Amen. What if you hit that pothole in your life? How are you going to react? You better start with a contented heart because it's going to be hard to get contented after you hit the hole. Amen. God honors faith in him. Psalm 121, middle of your Bible, Psalm 121, in verse 1. God honors trust. Psalm 121, verse 1. Psalm 121 and verse 1 says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? Hey, my help cometh from who? Which made heaven and earth. Do you know God created us to live by faith? Hebrews 13:5, we read it, and it says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Psalm 20. Go back to Psalm 20. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots. Some in horses. Some in banks. Some in stock markets. Some in governments. Some in your parents. But we, what does it say? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. His name is Jesus. His name is Almighty. His name is the promise keeper. He keeps His promises. He's the one that we trust. Listen to 2 Chronicles. I'll just read it for you. 2 Chronicles 32:8 says, with Him, talking about His enemy, with Him is an arm of flesh. But with us, this is King Asa saying this. King Hezekiah said, with our army, Sennacherib is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They said, we're going to wait on God. Now, the modern way to look is to the government for today and to trust in it. That's a list of the entitlements I've found on the internet. I found out that there are even more that you don't even know about, but there they are, 67 of them. There's a Back to College initiative for job seeker benefit, Back to Education allowance. There's a Back to Education allowance for second and third level options. There's a Back to School clothing and footwear allowance. There's Back to Work. There's a Back to Work allowance for employees. I don't know which. How come there's a Back to Work and one for employees? I don't understand the two. They're both employees. There's Back to Work Enterprise Allowance. There's Back to Work Enterprise Allowance for self-employed. There's a bereavement grant. There's a blind pension. There's a child benefit. There's a welfare payment for communions and confirmations. There's a cross-border all-Ireland free travel. There's a death benefit. There's a deserted wife's allowance. There's a deserted wife's benefit on top of the allowance. There is a disability allowance. There's a disablement benefit. I can go through the whole thing. There's a household benefits package. There's a mortgage benefit that if you can't pay your mortgage, there's a maternity benefit. Have you found out about that one there? Yeah, there's a mortgage interest supplement. There's a national fuel scheme. There's a work placement program. There's a widows, widowers, and surviving civil partners pension. What am I looking at? Your money. The government doesn't have a single penny to spend on any of those things. Now, some of those things are good. We're not talking about all of them are evil. The point is that we look to the government to supply all of those things. And you better stop, because they're running out of money. They already run out of it. Everybody's applying for this grant and doing that. You know what? If you go to the doctor, pay for it. Don't write and say, I need my prescriptions paid for by the government. I need my... Now, there comes time when you've got to have help. That's not a question. See, there are some of these sacred cows we don't talk about. God does. If you make a bill, you pay it. There are times that you're supposed to... You have insurance, and you have times when the government has set aside money for hard cases, and we're all for that, and we don't mind having money for that. But we do mind when the government becomes this huge pig that everybody suckles off of. You know what the pig is? He's this thin. There's nothing left. We need to get back to where this life for most people is just getting. It's a handout. And yet David said, I look unto the Lord. God's people trust in God alone, no matter how long He may take. We trust in Him. Learn to push. To pray until something happens. You ought to remember that. You need to learn to pray for everything you need. Amen. It's getting real quiet. I'm sorry. But it's the truth. I read this about our government and about money. You can never legislate the poor into prosperity by legislating the wealth out of prosperity. You didn't get that. What one person receives without working for, another person must work for without receiving. Ooh. The government cannot give to anybody anything that the government does not first take from somebody else. You see, we think, oh, they're rich that they're taking from. Oh, no, they're the workers that have worked, and then they find out, well, I don't get all the pay that I was due so that I can take care of those who don't work. We all are willing to give to take care of people who can't work. Nobody's debating that. We are debating the fact that we live in a culture and it's in Christian mindsets that it doesn't matter that we take money from people who work. It does to God. It does to God, and it ought to us. God honors when we say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to pray for my needs. We need to get back to live by faith in the only answer to our needs, and that's where we live by faith. The Bible says the just live by faith, not by the government. Now, lastly, God honors a loose grip on our money. God honors a loose grip on our money. Go to James 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2. Right after Hebrews comes James chapter 2 and verse 8 says this. Do you know, when you understand the previous truths, this part will be easy. James chapter 2 verse 8 says, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. You know what? Gentlemen, if you will spend a lot of money on your hobbies and on the things that you want, and yet you won't spend a penny on your wife, do you see how wrong that is? See, as much as you love yourself, as much as you dote upon yourself and all the things that you want, gentlemen, well, I earned it. I thought the Bible says, and two became one. You see, we've got too tight a grip on our money. Well, it's my money. That's wrong. I believe in joint accounts. I don't believe in his or her bank accounts. Because that's setting the stage for the future where all of a sudden she's got money and you didn't know about it and you got money and she doesn't know about it. That's wrong. You two are one. Everything you have, she owns.
Don't tell my wife that.
You're wicked, man. She bought you when you got married. The Bible says a man doesn't even own his own body anymore. She does. Amen. That's what the Bible says. God honors when we let go of our money and we, instead of being stingy and worried about money, we need to listen to God's word. Look at Matthew 6:3. Go back to chapter 3 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. When thou doest thine alms, when you give money, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I like how he describes it. He's just saying, just do it. It's not for show. It's not, hey, look what I'm doing. Hey, look at this. Or it ought to just become natural. The left hand's just not even paying attention to what the right hand's doing. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 25. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, liberal there means a liberal giver, just somebody who's a giving soul. The liberal soul shall be made fat. I have a problem with a politician being known as a liberal. Anybody know why? Because he ain't liberal. He's a thief. He just gives more of your money away than the next guy. And yet he calls himself a liberal. If he's really liberal, he'll give his own money away. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't vote for liberals. I want to be one. I want to be somebody who just gives. I don't want somebody up there saying, our politics are the people, you liar. Your politics is thievery. You'll take more money to give to the people so they keep electing you. Am I stepping on anybody's shoes? We don't need to vote in liberals. We need to be liberal. We need to be givers. There ought to be conservatives in politics who do not take from one group to give to another simply because that's how you get elected. We are supposed to be givers ourselves. And if you want to be healthy, if you want to be rich someday, then be a giver. Don't be a hoarder. Don't be miserly. Look in 2 Corinthians. The liberal soul, he shall be fat. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 1. Preached on this a couple of weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction. Notice the abundance of their joy. And their deep poverty. Look what it did. It abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us, begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Paul was there and he saw the poverty, and yet they said, here's a gift for the Christians down in Jerusalem going through the famine and through the persecution. And he said, no, I can't take your money. You need it. And they said, no, no, we want to give. That's liberal. That's liberalism. We ought to be the most liberal church there is. You ought to be the most liberal person as a Christian. Your family ought to see a giver, because God honors a loose grip on money. Luke chapter 6 says this, give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive back, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. It's right to pay people back. It's right that people pay you back. But if you have a right attitude and you pay your bills and you are determined to work and you meet somebody who's not, you don't care. You just want to be a blessing to them, even if they don't pay you back. You see the Christian balance? Can you imagine the nightmare if I had everybody saying, we believe in hard work, we believe in saving money, we believe in frugal, and then you meet somebody who has a need and says, you, I'm not going to help you because you don't work. No, we help everybody. I know what I got to do. I've got to believe in hard work. I've got to believe in being frugal. I've got to believe in having a budget so that I can give. Amen? So that my money's not stuck in my fist. Amen? That's the point. Christianity is not about trying to make everybody Scrooges. Oh, the way to have money to give is to be regimented in how you spend it and how you work for it. So on. But we ought to be givers. See, that's the contradiction of Christianity. It's a great contradiction. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping nothing for return, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Let go of money easily to bless other lives. It ought to be second nature. If you just see something that needs to be done, just do it. We need to take up an offering for the building or whatever, just give. Your left hand shouldn't be going, what? When your right hand's giving. Be a liberal giver and you'll have a continual feast. You'll have joy because that's what the Lord loved giving. And he still loves it. Determined to use your money to invest in heavenly treasures. You know, when you just give and you don't worry about it, the Bible says you've actually laid up treasures in heaven. But you know, few people know how to handle money, right? You might know who the picture is. Come on. Our economy's ruined because a bunch of people thought that they could handle money right. Our own budgets and our own households and our own debts are ruined because we're just like them. We've lived too much like the doll. God's people need to see money as a good thing to be used correctly. And he honors when we love God more than money. Do you? The things that you have in your hand usually are more important than things you can't see. God honors hard work, living wisely, frugally. God honors paying your bills. God honors when you live within a budget. God honors when you have a contented attitude about where you're at. You're not complaining, saying, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. Doesn't matter. God honors when we live by faith and we say, I'm just going to trust God for this. I've done my best and I still can't do it. I still can't. Then pray. Push. Pray until something happens. God honors a loose grip. You say, I don't get it. I don't see money that way. You know how to see money differently? Just take a good look at Jesus. He'll teach you. He'll teach you how to look at money as nothing. To Jesus, you know what he owned? The clothes on his back. And he's the happiest man alive. Having food and raiment, therewith be content. Take a good look at Jesus Christ. Ask him for a new heart. It's a matter of the heart. The ability to sit down and rest when everybody else is worried is because something's different in the heart. The mind says we're broke. The heart says we're okay. Amen? It's called being born again. If you're not born again, you need to get that new heart. And if you are saved, you need to get that heart softened again. Let's stand and let's bow in prayer.